tea. She smiled. You're welcome. They were quiet for a few moments as she chewed through the first bite of her Danish. Once she'd swallowed, she said, I'm sorry about your funds. He shook his head.
I'm sorry about the mood.
Oh. It's okay. You're famous for that.
I am?
Yep. It's kind of your thing.
Is that so?
His mouth twitched.
Maybe I want to despair you.
Olive smiled, because it was actually a nice thing to say, and he was not a nice person, but he was very kind to her most of the time, if not always. He was almost smiling back, staring down at her in a way that she couldn't quite interpret, but that made her think weird thoughts, until the barista deposited their drinks on the counter. He suddenly looked like he was about to retch. Adam, are you okay? He stared at her cup and took a step back.
The smell of that thing.
Olive inhaled deeply. Heaven. You hate pumpkin spice latte? He wrinkled his nose, moving even farther away.
Gross.
How can you hate it? It's the best thing your country has produced in the past century.
Please, stand back. The stench.
Hey, if I have to choose between you and pumpkin spice latte, maybe we should rethink our arrangement. He eyed her cup like it contained radioactive waste.
Maybe we should.
He held the door open for her as they exited the coffee shop, taking care not to come too close to her drink. Outside, it was starting to drizzle. Students were hastily packing up their laptops and notebooks from the patio tables to head to class or move to the library. Olive had been in love with the rain since as far back as she could remember. She inhaled deeply and filled her lungs with petrichor, stopping with Adam under the canopy. He took a sip of his chamomile tea, and it made her smile. Hey, she said, I have an idea. Are you going to the fall biosciences picnic? He nodded.
I have to. I'm on the biology department's social and networking committee.
She laughed out loud. No way.
Yep.
Did you actually sign up for it?
It's service. I was forced to rotate into the position.
Ah, that sounds fun. She winced sympathetically, almost laughing again at his appalled expression. Well, I'm going too. Dr. Aslan makes us all go. Says it promotes bonding among lab mates. Do you make your grads go?
No. I have other, more productive ways of making my grads miserable.
She chuckled. He was funny, in that weird, dark way of his. I bet you do. Well, here's my idea. We should hang when we're there, in front of the department chair, since he's monitoring. I'll bat my eyelashes at you. He'll see that we're basically one step away from marriage. Then he'll make a quick phone call, and a truck will drive up and unload your research funds in cash right there in front of...
Hey, man.
A blonde man approached Adam. Olive fell silent as Adam turned to smile at him and exchanged a handshake. A close bros handshake. She blinked, wondering if she was seeing things, and took a sip of her latte.
I thought you'd sleep in, Adam was saying. The time difference screwed me up. I figured I might as well come to campus and get to work. Something to eat, too. You have no food, man. There are apples in the kitchen. Right. No food.
Olive took a step back, ready to excuse herself, when the blonde man turned his attention to her. He looked eerily familiar, even though she was certain she had never met him before.
And who's this?
He asked curiously. His eyes were a very piercing blue.
This is Olive, Adam said.
There was a beat after her name, in which he should have probably specified how he knew Olive. He did not, and she really couldn't blame him for not wanting to feed their fake dating crap to someone who was clearly a good friend. She just kept her smile in place and let Adam continue.
Olive, this is my collaborator.
Dude,
the man pretended to bristle.
Introduce me as your friend.
Adam rolled his eyes, clearly amused.
Olive, this is my friend and collaborator, Dr. Tom Benton.
Chapter 5. Hypothesis. The more I need my brain to be on top of its game, the higher the probability that it will freeze on me.
Wait a minute.
Dr. Benton tilted his head. His smile was still in place, but his gaze became a little sharper, his focus on Olive less superficial.
Do you happen to be...
Olive froze. Her mind was never calm or orderly, more like a garbled mess of thoughts, really. And yet, standing there in front of Tom Benton, the inside of her head went uncharacteristically quiet, and several considerations stacked themselves neatly into place. The first was that she was comically luckless. The chances that the person she depended on to finish her beloved research project would be acquainted, no, friends, with the person she depended on to ensure her beloved aunt's romantic happiness were laughably low. And yet, then again, Olive's special brand of luck was no news, so she moved on to the next consideration. She needed to admit who she was to Tom Benton. They were scheduled to meet at 3 p.m., and pretending not to recognize him now would mean the kiss of death to her plans to infiltrate herself into his lab. Academics had huge egos, after all. Last consideration? If she phrased this right, she could probably avoid Dr. Benton hearing about the whole fake dating mess. Adam hadn't mentioned it, which probably meant that he wasn't planning to. Olive just needed to follow his lead. Yes, excellent plan. She had this in the bag. Olive smiled, held on to her pumpkin spice latte, and answered, "Yes, I'm Olive Smith, the
girlfriend I've heard so much about."
Shit. Shit, shit, shit. She swallowed. Actually,
Heard from whom?
Adam asked, frowning. Dr. Benton shrugged.
Everyone? Everyone,
Adam repeated. He was scowling now.
In Boston. Yeah. Why are people at Harvard talking about my girlfriend? Because you're you. Because I'm me?
Adam looked perplexed.
There have been tears, some hair pulling, a few broken hearts. Don't worry, they'll get over it.
Adam rolled his eyes, and Dr. Benton returned his attention to Olive. He smiled at her, offering his hand.
It's very nice to meet you. I'd written off the whole girlfriend thing as rumors, but I'm glad you... exist. Sorry, I didn't catch your name. I'm terrible at names.
I'm Olive. She shook his hand. He had a nice grip, not too tight and not too soft.
Which department do you teach, Olive?
Oh, crap. Actually, I don't. Teach, that is.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to assume.
He smiled, apologetic and self-effacing. There was a smooth charm to him. He was young to be a professor, though not as young as Adam. And he was tall, though not as tall as Adam. And he was handsome, though, yeah, not as handsome as Adam.
What do you do then? Are you a research fellow? She's a student,
Adam said. Dr. Benton's eyes widened.
A graduate student,
Adam clarified. There was a hint of warning in his tone, like he really wanted Dr. Benton to drop the subject. Dr. Benton, naturally, did not.
Your graduate student?
Adam frowned.
No, of course she's not my...
This was the perfect opening. Actually, Dr. Benton, I work with Dr. Aslan. Maybe this meeting was still salvageable. You probably don't recognize my name, but we've corresponded. We're supposed to meet today. I'm the student who's working on the pancreatic cancer biomarkers, the one who asked to come work in your lab for a year. Dr. Benton's eyes widened even more, and he muttered something that sounded a lot like, "What the hell?" Then his face stretched into a wide, open-mouthed grin.
Adam, you absolute ass. You didn't even tell me. I didn't know,
Adam muttered. His gaze was fixed on Olive.
How could you not know that your girlfriend?
I didn't tell Adam because I didn't know you two were friends, Olive interjected. And then she thought that maybe it wasn't quite believable. If Olive really were Adam's girlfriend, he'd have told her about his friends. Since, in a shocking plot twist, he did appear to have at least one. That is, I never put two and two together and didn't know that you were the Tom he always talked about. There. Better. Kind of. I'm sorry, Dr. Benton, I didn't mean to—
Tom, he said, grin still in place.
His shock seemed to be settling into pleasant surprise.
Please, call me Tom.
His eyes darted between Adam and Olive for a few seconds. Then he said,
Hey, are you free?
He pointed to the coffee shop.
Why don't we go inside and chat about your project now? No point in waiting until this afternoon.
She took a sip of her latte to temporize. Was she free? Technically, yes. She would have loved to run to the edge of campus and scream into the void until modern civilization collapsed, but that wasn't exactly a pressing matter. And she wanted to look as accommodating as possible to Dr. Benton. Tom. Beggars and choosers and all that. I'm free.
Great. You, Adam?
Olive froze. And so did Adam, for about a second, before pointing out,
I don't think I should be present if you're about to interview her. Oh, it's not an interview. Just an informal chat to see if Olive's and my research match. You'll want to know if your girlfriend is moving to Boston for a year, right? Come on.
He motioned for them to follow him and then stepped inside the Starbucks. Olive and Adam exchanged a silent look that somehow managed to speak volumes. It said, What the hell do we do? And, How the hell would I know? And, This is going to be weird. And,
No, it's going to be plain bad.
Then Adam sighed, put on a resigned face, and headed inside. Olive followed him, regretting her life choices.
Aslan's retiring, huh?
Tom asked, after they found a secluded table in the back. Olive had no choice but to sit across from him, and on Adam's left. Like a good girlfriend, she supposed. Her boyfriend, in the meantime, was sullenly sipping his chamomile tea next to her. I should snap a picture, she reflected. He'd make for an excellent viral meme. In the next few years, Olive confirmed. She loved her advisor, who had always been supportive and encouraging. Since the very beginning, she had given Olive the freedom to develop her own research program, which was almost unheard of for PhD students. Having a hands-off mentor was great when it came to pursuing her interests, but...
If Aslan's retiring soon, she's not applying for grants anymore. Understandable, since she won't be around long enough to see the projects through, which means that your lab is not exactly flush with cash right now.
Tom summarized perfectly.
Okay, tell me about your project. What's cool about it?
Olive began. She scrambled to collect her thoughts. So it's... Another pause, longer this time, and more painfully awkward. This, precisely, was her problem. Olive knew that she was an excellent scientist, that she had the discipline and the critical thinking skills to produce good work in the lab. Unfortunately, succeeding in academia also required the ability to pitch one's work, sell it to strangers, present it in public, and that was not something she enjoyed or excelled at. It made her feel panicky and judged, as though pinned to a microscope slide. And her ability to produce syntactically coherent sentences invariably leaked out of her brain. Like, right now. Olive felt her cheeks heat and her tongue tie and...
What kind of question is that?
Adam interjected. When she glanced at him, he was scowling at Tom, who just shrugged.
What's cool about your project?
Adam repeated back.
Yeah, cool. You know what I mean. I don't think I do, and maybe neither does Olive.
Tom huffed.
Fine, what would you ask?
Adam turned to Olive. His knee brushed her leg, warm and oddly reassuring through her jeans.
What issues does your project target? Why do you think it's significant? What gaps in the literature does it fill? What techniques are you using? What challenges do you foresee?
Tom huffed.
Right, sure. Consider all those long, boring questions asked, Olive.
She glanced at Adam, finding that he was studying her with a calm, encouraging expression. The way he'd formulated the questions helped her reorganize her thoughts, and realizing that she had answers for each one melted most of her panic. It probably hadn't been intentional on Adam's part, but he'd done her a solid. Olive was reminded of that guy from the bathroom from years ago. "I have no idea if you're good enough," he told her. "What matters is whether your reason to be in academia is good enough." He'd said that Olive's reason was the best one, and therefore, she could do this. She needed to do this. "Okay." She started again after taking a deep breath, gathering what she'd rehearsed the previous night with Malcolm. "Here's the deal. Pancreatic cancer is very aggressive and deadly. It has very poor prognosis, with only 1 out of 4 people alive a year after diagnosis." Her voice, she thought, sounded less breathy and more self-assured. "Good. The problem is that it's so hard to detect. We are only able to diagnose it very late in the game. At that point, the cancer has already spread so widely, most treatments can't do much to counteract it. But if diagnosis were faster..."
"People could get treatment sooner and have a higher chance of survival," Tom said, nodding a bit impatiently. "Yep, I'm well aware. We already have some screening tools, though, like imaging."
She wasn't surprised he brought it up, since imaging was what Tom's lab focused on. "Yes, but that's expensive, time-consuming, and often not useful because of the pancreas's position. But..." She took another deep breath. "I think I have found a set of biomarkers, not from tissue biopsy, blood biomarkers, non-invasive, easy to obtain, cheap. In mice, they can detect pancreatic cancer as early as stage 1. She paused. Tom and Adam were both staring at her. Tom was clearly interested, and Adam looked a little weird, to be honest. Impressed, maybe? Nah, impossible.
"Okay, this sounds promising. What's the next step?"
"Collecting more data, running more analyses with better equipment to prove that my set of biomarkers is worthy of a clinical trial. But for that, I need a larger lab."
"I see."
He nodded with a thoughtful expression and then leaned back in his chair.
"Why pancreatic cancer?"
"It's one of the most lethal, and we know so little about how..."
"No,"
Tom interrupted.
"Most third-year PhD students are too busy infighting over the centrifuge to come up with their own line of research. There must be a reason you're so motivated. Did someone close to you have cancer?"
Olive swallowed before reluctantly answering, "Yes."
"Who?"
"Tom,"
Adam said, a trace of warning in his voice. His knee was still against her thigh, still warm, and yet Olive felt her blood turn cold. She really, really didn't want to say it. And yet, she couldn't ignore the question. She needed Tom's help.
"My mother."
Okay. It was out there now. She'd said it, and she could go back to try not to think about it.
"Did she die?"
A beat. Olive hesitated and then nodded silently, not looking at either of the men at the table. She knew Tom wasn't trying to be mean. People were curious, after all. But it wasn't something Olive wanted to discuss. She barely ever talked about it, even with Ann and Malcolm, and she had carefully avoided writing about her experience in her grad school applications, even when everyone had told her it would give her a leg up. She couldn't. She just couldn't.
"How old were you?"
"Tom,"
Adam interrupted, tone sharp. He set his tea down with more force than necessary.
"Stop harassing my girlfriend."
It was less of a warning and more of a threat.
"Right. Yes, I'm an insensitive ass."
Tom smiled, apologetic. Olive noticed that he was looking at her shoulder. When she followed his gaze, She realized that Adam had placed his arm on the back of her chair. He wasn't touching her, but there was something protective about his position. He seemed to generate large amounts of heat, which was not at all unwelcome. It helped melt the yucky feeling the conversation with Tom had left behind.
Then again, so is your boyfriend.
Tom winked at her.
Okay, Olive, tell you what.
Tom leaned forward, elbows on the table.
I've read your paper, and the abstract you submitted to the SPD conference. Are you still planning to go?
If it's accepted.
I'm sure it will be. It's excellent work. But it sounds like your project has progressed since you submitted that, and I need to know more about it. If I decide that you can work in my lab next year, I'll cover you completely. Salary, supplies, equipment, whatever you need. But I need to know where you're at to make sure that you're worth investing in.
Olive felt her heart racing. This sounded promising, very promising.
Here's the deal. I'm going to give you 2 weeks to write up a report on everything you've been doing so far. Protocols, findings, challenges. In 2 weeks, send me the report and I'll make a decision based on it. Does that sound feasible?
She grinned, nodding enthusiastically. Yes! She could absolutely do that. She'd need to pull the intro from one of her papers, the methods from her lab protocols, the preliminary data from the grant she'd applied for and not won, and she'd have to rerun some of her analyses just to make sure that the report was absolutely flawless for Tom. It would be lots of work in little time, but who needed sleep or bathroom breaks?
Great. In the meantime, I'll see you around, and we can chat more. Adam and I will be joined at the hip for a couple of weeks, since we're working on that grant we just got. Are you coming to my talk tomorrow?
Olive had no idea he was giving a talk, let alone when or where, but she said, "Of course, can't wait." With the certainty of someone who had installed a countdown widget on her smartphone.
And I'm staying with Adam, so I'll see you at his place.
Oh no. She risked a glance at Adam, who was unreadable. Sure, though we usually meet at my place, so...
I see. You disapprove of his taxidermy collection, don't you?
Tom stood with a smirk.
Excuse me, I'll get some coffee and be right back.
The second he was gone, Olive instantly turned to Adam. Now that they were alone, there were about 10 million topics for them to debrief on, but the only thing she could think of was, do you really collect taxidermied animals? He gave her a scathing look and took his arm away from around her shoulders. She felt cold all of a sudden, bereft. I'm sorry, I had no idea he was your friend or that you two had a grant together. You do such different research, the possibility didn't even cross my mind.
You did mention that you don't believe cancer researchers can benefit from collaborating with computational modelists.
You? She noticed the way his mouth was twitching and wondered when exactly they'd gotten on teasing terms. How do you two know each other?
He was a postdoc in my lab, back when I was a PhD student. We've kept in touch and collaborated through the years.
So he must be 4 or 5 years older than Adam. You went to Harvard, right? He nodded, and a terrifying thought occurred to her. What if he feels obliged to take me on because I'm your fake girlfriend?
Tom won't. He once fired his cousin for breaking a flow cytometer. He's not exactly tender-hearted.
Takes one to know one, she thought. Listen, I'm sorry this is forcing you to lie to your friend. If you want to tell him that this is fake...
Adam shook his head. If I did, I'd never live it down.
She let out a laugh. Yeah, I can see that. And honestly, it wouldn't reflect well on me either.
But, Olive, if you do end up deciding that you want to go to Harvard, I'll need you to keep it a secret until the end of September.
She gasped, realizing the implications of his words. Of course, if people know that I'm leaving, the department chair will never believe that you're not leaving too. I hadn't even thought of it. I promise I won't tell anyone. Well, except for Malcolm and Ann, but they're great at keeping secrets. They'd never... His eyebrow rose. Olive winced. I will make them keep this secret,
I swear.
I appreciate it.
She noticed that Tom was on his way back to the table and leaned closer to Adam to quickly whisper,
One more thing. The talk you mentioned? The one he's giving tomorrow?
The one you can't wait for?
Olive bit the inside of her cheek.
Yes. When and where is it going to be?
Adam laughed silently, just as Tom sat down again.
Don't worry. I'll email you the details.
Chapter 6. Hypothesis. When compared with multiple types of models of furniture, Adam Carlson's lap will be rated in the top 5th percentile for comfort, coziness, and enjoyment. The moment Olive opened the door of the auditorium, she and Ann exchanged a wide-eyed look and said in unison, Holy shit! In her 2 years at Stanford, she had been to countless seminars, trainings, lectures, and classes in this lecture hall, and yet she'd never seen the room this full. Maybe Tom was giving out free beer?
I think they made the talk mandatory for immunology and pharmacology, Ann said. And I overheard at least 5 people in the hallway saying that Benton is a known science hottie.
She stared critically at the podium, where Tom was chatting with Dr. Moss from immunology.
I guess he's cute, though not nearly as cute as Jeremy.
Olive smiled. The air in the room was hot and humid, smelling like sweat and too many human beings.
You don't have to stay. This is probably a fire hazard and not even remotely relevant to your research.
It beats doing actual work. She grabbed Olive's wrist, pulling her through the throng of grads and postdocs crowding the entrance and down the stairs on the side. They were just as packed.
And if this guy is going to take you away from me and to Boston for an entire year, I want to make sure that he deserves you. She winked. Consider my presence the equivalent of a father cleaning his rifle in front of his daughter's boyfriend before prom.
Aw, Daddy. There was nowhere to sit, of course, not even on the floor or on the steps. Olive spotted Adam in an aisle seat a few meters away. He was back to his usual black Henley and deep in conversation with Holden Rodriguez. When Adam's eyes met Olive's, she grinned and waved at him. For some yet unknown reason that likely had to do with the fact that they were sharing this huge, ridiculous, unlikely secret, Adam now felt like a friendly face. He didn't wave back, but his gaze seemed softer and warmer, and his mouth curved into that tilt that she learned to recognize as his version of a smile.
I can't believe they didn't switch the talk to one of the bigger auditoriums. There's not nearly enough space for...
Oh, no. No, no, no. Olive followed An's gaze and saw at least 20 new people arrive. The crowd immediately started pushing Olive toward the front of the room. An yelped when a first year from neuroscience, who weighed about 4 times as much as she did, stepped on her toe.
This is ridiculous.
I know. I can't believe more people are...
Olive's hip bumped against something. Someone.
She turned to apologize and... It was Adam. Or Adam's shoulder. He was still chatting with Dr. Rodriguez, who wore a displeased expression and was muttering,
Why are we even here?
Because he's a friend, Adam said. Not my friend.
Adam sighed and turned to look at Olive.
Hey, sorry.
She gestured in the direction of the entrance. A bunch of new people just came in, and apparently the space in this room is finite. I think it's a law of physics or something.
It's okay.
I'd take a step back, but... On the podium, Dr. Moss took the mic and began introducing Tom.
Here,
Adam told Olive, making to stand from his chair.
Take my seat.
Oh. It was nice of him to offer. Not fake dating to save her ass, spend $20 on junk food for her nice, but still very nice. Olive couldn't possibly accept. Plus, Adam was a professor, which meant... that he was older and all that? 30-something. He did look fit, but he probably had a bum knee and was only a few years short of osteoporosis.
Thank you, but... Actually, that would be a terrible idea,
Ann interjected. Her eyes were darting between Olive and Adam.
No offense, Dr. Carlson, but you're 3 times larger than Olive. If you stand, the room's going to burst. Adam stared at Anne like he had no idea whether he'd just been insulted. But, she continued, this time looking at Olive, it'd be great if you could do me a solid and sit on your boyfriend's lap all, just so I don't have to stand on my toes. Olive blinked, and then she blinked again, and then she blinked some more. Near the podium, Dr. Moss was still introducing Tom. Got his PhD from Vanderbilt, and then moved to a postdoctoral fellowship at Harvard University, where he pioneered several techniques in the field of imaging. But her voice sounded as if it was coming from far, far away, possibly because Olive couldn't stop thinking about what Anne had proposed, which was just, "Anne, I don't think it's a good idea," Olive mumbled under her breath, avoiding glancing in Adam's direction. Anne gave her a look. "Why? You're taking up space we don't have, and it's only logical that you use Carlson as a chair. I would, but he's your boyfriend, not mine." For a moment, Olive tried to imagine what Adam would do if Anne decided to sit on his lap, and figured that it would probably end up involving someone being murdered and someone doing the murdering. She wasn't sure who'd be doing what. The mental image was so ridiculous that she almost giggled out loud. Then she noticed the way Anne was looking at her expectantly. "Anne, I can't."
"Why?"
"Because this is a scientific talk."
"Psh. Remember last year when Jess and Alex made out for half of that CRISPR lecture?"
"I do, and it was weird."
"Nah, it wasn't. Also, Malcolm swears that during a seminar, he saw that tall guy from immunology get a hand job from
Anne."
"The point is, no one cares." Anne's expression softened into a plea. "And this girl's elbow is puncturing my right lung, and I have about 30 seconds of air left. Please, Olive." Olive turned to face Adam, who was, very unsurprisingly, looking up at her with that non-expression of his, the one that Olive couldn't quite decipher, except that his jaw was working, and she wondered if maybe this was it, the last straw, the moment he backed out of their arrangement, because millions of dollars in research funds couldn't be worth having some girl he barely knew sit on his lap in the most crowded room in the history of crowded rooms.
"Is this okay?" she tried to ask him with her eyes. "Because maybe this is a little too much. Way more than saying hi to each other and having coffee together."
He gave her a brief nod, and then Olive, or at least Olive's body, was stepping toward Adam and gingerly sitting on his thigh, her knees tucked between his spread legs. It was happening. It had happened already. Olive was here, sitting on Adam. This. Yep. This. This was her life now. She was going to murder Anne for this. Slowly. Maybe painfully, too. She was going to be jailed for best friend aside, and she was A-okay with it.
"I'm sorry," she whispered to Adam.
He was so tall, her mouth was not quite level with his ear. She could smell him, the woodsiness of his shampoo, his body wash, and something else underneath. Dark and good and clean. It all felt familiar, and after a few seconds, Olive realized that it was because of the last time they'd been this close. Because of the night. Because of the kiss. So sorry. He didn't immediately answer. His jaw tensed, and he looked in the direction of the PowerPoint. Dr. Moss was gone. Tom was talking about cancer diagnostics, and Olive would have gobbled this up on a regular day. But right now, she just needed out of the talk, of the room, of her own life. Then Adam turned his face a little and told her,
"It's okay."
He sounded a bit strained, like nothing about this situation was, in fact, okay.
"I'm sorry. I had no idea she would suggest this, and I couldn't think of a way to—"
"Shh." His arm slid around her waist, his hand coming to rest on her hip in a gesture that should have been unpleasant, but just felt reassuring. His voice was low when he added,
"It's fine."
The words vibrated in her ear, rich and warm.
More material for my Title IX complaint.
Shit. God, I am so sorry.
Olive.
She lifted her eyes to catch his and was shocked to find him not smiling, but something like it.
I was kidding. You weigh nothing. I don't mind.
Shh.
Just focus on the talk. Tom might ask you questions about it.
This was just... Seriously, this whole business, it was completely, utterly... comfortable. Adam Carlson's lap was one of the most comfortable places on earth, as it turned out. He was warm and solid, in a pleasant, soothing way, and he didn't seem to mind too much having Olive half draped over him. After a short while, she realized that the room was truly too full for anyone to be paying attention to them, except for a quick glance from Holden Rodriguez, who studied Adam for a long moment and then smiled warmly at Olive before focusing on the talk. She stopped pretending to be able to hold her spine upright for more than 5 minutes and just let herself lean into Adam's torso. He didn't say anything, but angled himself a little, just to help her fit more comfortably. Somewhere halfway through the talk, she realized that she had been sliding down Adam's thigh, or, to be fair, Adam realized and lifted her up, straightening her in a firm, quick pull that made her feel like she really didn't weigh anything. Once she was stable again, he didn't move his arm from where it was snaked around her waist. The talk had been happening for 35 minutes, going on a century, so no one could blame Olive if she sank into him a little bit more. It was fine. It was more than fine, actually. It was nice.
Don't fall asleep, he murmured.
She felt his lips move against the tendrils of hair above her temple. It should have been Olive's cue to straighten, but she couldn't quite make herself. I'm not, though you're so comfy. His fingers tightened on her, maybe to wake her up, maybe to hold her closer. She was about to melt off the chair and start snoring.
You look like you're about to take a nap.
It's just that I've read all of Tom's articles. I already know what he's saying.
Yeah, same. We cited all this stuff in our grant proposal.
He sighed, and she felt his body move under hers.
This is dull.
Maybe you should ask a question to liven this up. Adam turned slightly to her.
Me?
She angled her head to speak in his ear. I'm sure you can come up with something. Just raise your hand to make a mean observation with that tone of yours. Glare at him. It might devolve into an entertaining outbreak of fisticuffs. His cheek curved.
You are such a smartass.
Olive looked back to the slides, smiling. Has it been weird, having to lie to Tom about us? Adam seemed to think about it.
No.
He hesitated.
It looks like your friends are buying that we're together.
I think so. I'm not exactly a convincing liar, and sometimes I worry that Anne might get suspicious, but I walked in on her and Jeremy making out in the grad lounge the other day. They fell quiet and listened to the last few minutes of the talk in silence. In front of them, Olive could see at least two professors taking a nap and several surreptitiously working on their laptops. Next to Adam, Dr. Rodriguez had been playing Candy Crush on his phone for the past half an hour. Some people had left, and Anne had found a seat about 10 minutes ago. So had several of the students who had been next to Olive, which meant that she could have technically stood up and left Adam alone. Technically? Technically, there was an open chair somewhere in the third to last row. Technically? Instead, she brought her lips to Adam's ear once more and whispered, It's working out well for me, I have to say. This whole fake dating thing. More than well. Better than she ever thought it would. Adam blinked once and then nodded. Maybe his arm tensed a little around her. Maybe it didn't, and Olive's mind was playing tricks on her. It was starting to get late after all. Her last coffee had been too long ago, and she wasn't fully awake. Her thoughts fuzzy and relaxed. What about you?
Hmm?
Adam wasn't looking at her.
Is it working for you? It came out a little needy.
Olive told herself that it was only because of how low she had to pitch her voice.
Or do you maybe want to fake break up early?
He didn't reply for a second. Then, just as Dr. Moss took the mic to thank Tom and ask the audience for questions, she heard him say,
No, I don't want to fake break up.
He really did smell good. And he was funny, in a weird, deadpan way. And yes, a known ass. But friendly enough to her that she could sort of ignore that about him.
Plus, he was spending a small fortune on sugar for her.
Truly, she had nothing to complain about.
Olive settled herself more comfortably and turned her attention back to the podium. After the talk, Olive considered walking down to the podium to compliment Tom and ask him one or two questions she already knew the answers to. Sadly, there were dozens of people waiting to speak to him, and she decided that the ass-kissing wasn't worth standing in line. So she said goodbye to Adam, waited for Ann to wake up from her nap, while contemplating getting revenge by drawing a dick on her face, and then slowly headed with her across campus back to the biology building.
Is it going to be a lot of work? The report Benton asked for?
A fair amount. I need to run a few control studies to make my results stronger. Plus, there's other stuff I should be working on. The TAing and my poster presentation for the SBD conference in Boston.
Olive bent her head back, felt the sun warm her skin, and smiled.
If I hole up in the lab every night this week and the next, I should be able to finish it on time.
SBD is something to look forward to, at least.
Olive nodded. She usually wasn't a fan of academic conferences, given how prohibitively expensive registration, travel, and lodgings could be. But Malcolm and Ann were going to be at SBD too, and Olive was excited to explore Boston with them. Plus, the interdepartmental drama that always happened at academic functions with open bars was sure to be A-plus entertainment.
I am organizing this outreach event for BIPOC women in STEM from all over the country. I'm going to get PhD students like me to talk face-to-face with undergrads who are applying and reassure them that if they come to grad school, they won't be alone.
Ann, this is amazing. You are amazing.
I know. Ann winked, sliding her arm through Olive's. We can all share a hotel room and get free gadgets from the exhibit booths and get sloshed together. Remember at Human Genetics, when Malcolm got wasted and began hitting random passersby with his poster tube? What's going on there?
Olive squinted against the sun. The parking lot of the biology building was uncharacteristically jammed with traffic. People were blowing their horns and getting out of their cars, trying to figure out the source of the holdup. She and Ann walked around the line of vehicles stuck in the lot until they ran into a group of biology grads.
Someone's battery died, and it's blocking the exit line.
Greg, one of Olive's lab mates, was rolling his eyes and bouncing impatiently on his feet. He pointed at a red truck stuck sideways in the most inconvenient turn. Olive recognized it as Cherise, the department secretary.
I defend my dissertation proposal tomorrow. I need to drive home to prepare. This is ridiculous. And why the fuck is Cherise just standing there, chatting leisurely with Carlson? Do they want us to bring them tea and cucumber sandwiches?
Olive looked around, searching for Adam's tall frame.
Oh yeah, there's Carlson, Ann said.
Olive looked where she was pointing, just in time to see Cherie get back behind the wheel and Adam jogging around the truck.
What is he?
Was all Olive managed to say before he came to a stop, put his hands on the back of the truck in neutral, and started pushing. His shoulders and biceps strained as Henley. The firm muscles of his upper back visibly shifted and tensed under the black fabric as he bent forward and rolled several tons of truck across quite a bit of a distance and into the closest empty parking space.
Oh.
There was some applause and whistling from bystanders when the truck was out of the way, and a couple of faculty members from neuroscience clapped Adam on the shoulder as the line of cars started driving out of the lot.
Fucking finally,
Olive heard Greg say from behind her, and she stood there, blinking, a little shocked. Had she hallucinated it? Had Adam really just pushed a giant truck all by himself? Was he an alien from planet Krypton who moonlighted as a superhero? All, go give him a kiss. Olive whirled around, abruptly reminded of An's existence. What? No. No. I'm good. I just said goodbye to him a minute ago and... All, why don't you want to go kiss your boyfriend? Ugh. It's not that I don't want to, I just... Dude, he just moved a truck. By himself. On uphill ground. He deserves a damn kiss. An shoved Olive and made a shooing motion. Olive clenched her teeth and headed in Adam's direction, wishing she'd gone ahead and drawn 20 dicks all over An's face. Maybe she did suspect that Olive was faking her relationship with Adam, or maybe she just got a kick out of pressuring her into PDAing, that ingrate. Either way, if this was what one got for masterminding an intricate fake dating scheme that was supposed to benefit a friend's love life, then maybe... Olive halted abruptly. Adam's head was bent forward, black hair covering his forehead as he wiped the sweat from his eyes with the hem of his shirt. It left a broad strip of flesh visible on his torso, and it was nothing indecent, really, nothing unusual, just some fit guy's midriff. But for some reason, Olive couldn't help staring at Adam Carlson's uncovered skin like it was a slab of Italian marble, and... Olive, he said, and she immediately averted her eyes. Crap, he'd totally caught her staring. First, she'd forced him to kiss her, and now she was ogling him like some perv in the biology parking lot and...
Did you need anything?
No, I... She felt her cheeks go crimson. His skin, too, was flushed from the effort of pushing, and his eyes were bright and clear, and he seemed... Well, at least he didn't seem unhappy to see her. An sent me to give you a kiss. He froze, halfway through wiping his hands on his shirt, and then he said,
Ah,
in his usual, neutral, unreadable tone. Because you moved the truck? I know how ridiculous that sounds. I know, but I didn't want her to get suspicious, and there are faculty members here too, so maybe they'll tell the department chair and it will be two birds with one stone, and I can leave if you...
It's okay, Olive. Breathe.
Right. Yes. Good suggestion. Olive did breathe, and the act made her realize that she hadn't done that in a while, which in turn made her smile up at Adam, who did his mouth-twitch thing back at her. She was really starting to get used to him, to his expressions, his size, his distinctive way of being in the same space as her.
An's staring at us, he said, looking over Olive's head.
Olive sighed and pinched the bridge of her nose. I just bet she is, she mumbled. Adam wiped sweat from his forehead with the back of his hand. Olive squirmed. So, should we hug or something?
Oh.
Adam looked at his hands and down at himself.
I don't think you want to do that. I'm pretty gross.
Before she could stop herself, Olive studied him from head to toe, taking in his large body, his broad shoulders, the way his hair was curling around his ears. He didn't look gross. Not even to Olive, who was usually not a fan of dudes built like they spent a double-digit percentage of their time at the gym. He looked not gross. Still, maybe it was better if they didn't hug. Olive might end up doing something egregiously stupid. She should just say goodbye and leave. Yes, that was the thing to do. Except that something absolutely insane came out of her mouth. Should we just kiss, then? She heard herself blurt out. And then she instantly wished a stray meteorite would hit the exact spot where she was standing, because... Had she just asked Adam Carlson for a kiss? Was that what she'd done? Was she a lunatic all of a sudden? I mean, not like a kiss, she hastened to add, but like the last time, you know.
He didn't seem to know, which made sense because their other kiss had definitely been a kiss-kiss. Olive tried not to think about it too much, but it flashed in her mind every once in a while, mostly when she was doing something important that required her utmost concentration, like implanting electrodes inside a mouse's pancreas or trying to decide what to order at Subway. Occasionally, it would pop up during a quiet moment, like when she was in bed and about to fall asleep, and she would feel a mixture of embarrassment and incredulity and something else, something that she had no intention of examining too closely, not now and not ever.
Are you sure?
She nodded, even though she wasn't sure at all. Is An still staring at us? His eyes flicked up.
Yes. She's not even pretending not to. Why does she care so much? Are you famous?
No, Adam, she gestured at him. You are.
Am I?
He looked perplexed. Anyway, no need to kiss. You're right that it would probably be a bit weird.
No, I didn't mean that.
There was a droplet of sweat running down his temple, and he wiped his face again, this time with the sleeve of his shirt.
We can kiss.
Oh.
If you think that... if your friend is watching.
Yeah, Olive swallowed. But we don't have to.
I know.
Unless you want to. Olive's palms felt damp and clammy, so she surreptitiously wiped them on her jeans. And by want to, I mean, unless you think it's a good idea. It so was not a good idea. It was a horrible idea, like all her ideas.
Right.
He looked past Olive and toward An, who was probably in the middle of doing an entire Instagram story on them.
Okay, then.
Okay. He stepped a little closer, and really, he was not gross. How someone this sweaty, someone who'd just pushed a truck, still managed to smell good, was a topic worthy of a PhD dissertation for sure. Earth's finest scientists should have been hard at work on this. Why don't I... Olive inched slightly into him, and after letting her hand hover for a moment, she rested it over Adam's shoulder. She pushed up on her toes, angling her head up toward him. It helped very little, as Olive was still not tall enough to reach his mouth. So she tried to get more leverage by putting her other hand on his arm and immediately realized that she was basically hugging him, which was the exact thing he had asked her not to do a second ago. Crap. Sorry, too close? I didn't mean to. She would have finished the sentence if he hadn't closed the distance between them and just kissed her. Just like that. It was little more than a peck, just his lips pressing against hers, and his hand on her waist to steady her a little. It was a kiss, but barely, and it certainly didn't warrant the way her heart pounded in her chest, or the fact that there was something warm and liquid looping at the bottom of her belly. Not unpleasant, but confusing, and a bit scary nonetheless, and it had Olive pull back after only a second. When she eased back on her heels, it seemed like for a fraction of a moment, Adam followed her, trying to fill the gap between their mouths. Though by the time she'd blinked herself free of the haze of the kiss, he was standing tall in front of her, cheekbones dusted with red and chest moving up and down in shallow breaths. She must have dreamed up that last bit. She needed to avert her eyes from him now, and he needed to look elsewhere too. Why were they staring at each other? Okay, she chirped. That worked? Adam's jaw twitched, but he didn't reply. Well then, I'm going to, She gestured behind her shoulders with her thumb.
An?
Yeah, to An. He swallowed heavily.
Okay, yeah.
They had kissed. Twice now. Twice. Not that it mattered. No one cared, but twice, plus the lap, earlier today. Again, not that it mattered. I'll see you around, right? Next week?
He lifted his fingers to his lips, then let his arm drop to his side.
Yes, on Wednesday.
It was Thursday now, which meant that they were going to see each other in 6 days. Which was fine. Olive was fine, no matter when or how often they met. Yep. See you at... Hey, what about the picnic?
The... Oh.
Adam rolled his eyes, looking a little more like himself.
Right. That fu...
He stopped short.
That picnic.
She grinned. It's on Monday. He sighed.
I know.
You're still going? He gave her a look that clearly stated,
It's not like I have a choice, even though I'd rather have my nails extracted one by one, with pliers.
Olive laughed. Well, I'm going too.
At least there's that.
Are you bringing Tom?
Probably. He actually likes people.
Okay, I can network with him a bit, and you and I can show off how steady and committed we are to the department chair. You'll look like a wingless bird. No flight risk whatsoever.
Perfect. I'll bring a counterfeit marriage license to casually drop at his feet.
Olive laughed, waved goodbye, and then jogged up to On. She rubbed the side of her hand against her lips, as if trying to scrub her mind clean of the fact that she had just kissed Adam, Dr. Adam Carlson, for the second time in her life. Which, again, was fine. It had been barely a kiss, not important. Well then, Anne said, tucking her phone into her pocket. You really just made out in front of the biology building with Associate Professor Adam MacArthur Carlson. Olive rolled her eyes and started up the stairs. I'm pretty sure that's not his middle name, and we did not. But it was clear that you wanted to. Shut up. Why were you looking at us anyway? I wasn't. I happened to glance up when he was about to jump you, and I just couldn't look away. Olive snorted, plugging her headphones into her phone's port. Right, of course. He's really into you. I can tell from the way he stares at... I'm gonna listen to music very loudly now to tune you out. You. It wasn't until much later, after Olive had been working on Tom's report for several hours, that she remembered what Adam had said when she'd told him she'd be at the picnic. At least there's that. Olive ducked her head and smiled at her toes. Chapter 7. Hypothesis. There will be a significant positive correlation between the amount of sunscreen poured in my hands and the intensity of my desire to murder On. Tom's report was about a third done, and sitting tight at 34 pages, single-spaced, Ariel, 11-point, no justification. It was 11 a.m., and Olive had been working in the lab since about 5, analyzing peptide samples, writing down protocol notes, taking covert naps while the PCR machine ran, when Greg barged in, looking absolutely furious. It was unusual, but not too unusual. Greg was a bit of a hothead to begin with, and grad school came with a lot of angry outbursts in semi-public places, usually for reasons that, Olive was fully aware, would appear ridiculous to someone who'd never stepped foot in academia. They're making me TA intro to bio for the 4th time in a row. The paper I need is behind a paywall. I had a meeting with my supervisor and accidentally called her mom. Greg and Olive shared an advisor, Dr. Aslan, and while they'd always gotten along fine, they had never been particularly close. Olive had hoped, by picking a female advisor, to avoid some of the nastiness that was so often directed at women in STEM. Unfortunately, she had still found herself in an all-male lab, which was a less than ideal environment. That was why when Greg came in, slammed the door, and then threw a folder on his bench, Olive was not sure what to do. She watched him sit down and begin to sulk. Chase, another lab mate, followed him inside a moment later with an uneasy expression and started gingerly patting his back. Olive looked longingly at her RNA samples. Then she stepped closer to Greg's bench and asked, "What's wrong?" She had expected the answer to be, "The production of my reagent has been discontinued,
Or, my p-value is 0.06. Or, grad school was a mistake, but now it's too late to back out of it because my self-worth is unbreakably tied to my academic performance. And what would even be left of me if I decided to drop out? Instead, what she got was, "Your stupid boyfriend is what's wrong." By now, the fake dating had been going on for over 2 weeks. Olive didn't startle anymore when someone referred to Adam as her boyfriend. Still, Greg's words were so unexpected and full of venom that she couldn't help but answer, "Who?"
"Carlson."
He spat the name out like a curse. "Oh."
"He's on Greg's dissertation committee," Chase explained, in a significantly milder tone, not quite meeting Olive's eyes.
"Oh, right. This could be bad. Very bad." "What happened?"
"He failed my proposal."
"Shit." Olive bit into her lower lip. "I'm sorry, Greg."
"This is going to set me back a lot. It'll take me months to revise it. All because Carlson had to go and nitpick. I didn't even want him on my committee. Dr. Aslan forced me to add him because she's so obsessed with this stupid computational stuff."
Olive chewed on the inside of her cheek, trying to come up with something meaningful to say and failing miserably. "I'm really sorry."
"Olive, do you guys talk about this stuff?"
Chase asked out of the blue, eyeing her suspiciously.
"Did he tell you he wasn't going to pass Greg?"
"What? No. No, I talk to him for exactly 15 minutes a week. And okay, I've kissed him. Twice. And I sat on his lap. Once. But it's just that. And Adam, he speaks very little. I actually wish he spoke more, since I know nothing about him. And I'd like to know at least something."
"No, he doesn't. I think it would be against regulations if he did."
"God!"
Greg slammed his palm against the edge of the bench, making her jump.
"He's such a dick. What a sadistic piece of shit."
Olive opened her mouth to do what, precisely? To defend Adam? He was a dick. She had seen him be a dick, in full action. Maybe not recently, and maybe not to her. But if she'd wanted to count on her fingers the number of acquaintances who'd ended up in tears because of him, well, she would need both her hands and then her toes. Maybe borrow some of Chase's, too.
"Did he say why, at least? What you have to change?"
"Everything. He wants me to change my control condition and add another one, which is going to make the project 10 times more time-consuming. And the way he said it, his air of superiority, he is so arrogant."
Well, it was no news, really. Olive scratched her temple, trying not to sigh. "It sucks. I'm sorry," she repeated once more, at a loss for anything better, and genuinely feeling for Greg.
"Yeah, well."
He stood and walked around his bench, coming to a stop in front of Olive.
"You should be."
She froze. Surely she must have misheard. "Excuse me?"
"You're his girlfriend."
"I really am not." But even if she had been. "Greg, I'm only dating him. I am not him. How would I have anything to do with—"
"You're fine with all of this. With him acting like an asshole on a power trip. You don't give a shit about the way he treats everyone in the program. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to stomach being with him."
At his tone, she took a step back. Chase lifted his hands in a peacekeeping gesture, coming to stand between them.
"Hey now, let's not—"
"I'm not the one who failed you, Greg."
"Maybe. But you don't care that half of the department lives in terror of your boyfriend either."
Olive felt anger bubbling up. "That is not true. I am able to separate my professional relationships and my personal feelings for him."
"Because you don't give a shit about anyone but yourself."
"That is unfair. What am I supposed to do?"
"Get him to stop failing people."
"Get him?" Olive sputtered. "Greg, how is this a rational response for you to have about Adam's failing you?"
"Ah, Adam, is it?"
She gritted her teeth. Yes, Adam. What should I call my boyfriend to better please you, Professor Carlson?
If you were a half-decent ally to any one of the grads in the department, you would just dump your fucking boyfriend.
How? Do you even realize how little sense you are?
No reason to finish her sentence, since Greg was storming out of the lab and slamming the door behind him, clearly uninterested in anything Olive might have wanted to add. She ran a hand down her face, unsettled by what had just happened.
He doesn't really mean it. Not about you, at least, Chase said, while scratching his head.
A nice reminder that he'd been standing there, in the room, for the entirety of this conversation. Front row seat. It was going to take maybe 15 minutes before everyone in the program knew about it.
Greg needs to graduate in the spring with his wife, so that they can find postdocs together. They don't want to live apart, you know?
She nodded. She hadn't known, but she could imagine. Some of her anger dissipated. Yeah, well, being horrible to me isn't going to make his thesis work go any faster, she didn't add. Chase sighed.
It's not personal, but you have to understand that it's weird for us, because Carlson, maybe he wasn't on any of your committees, but you must know the kind of guy he is, right?
She was unsure how to respond.
And now you guys are dating, and...
Chase shrugged with a nervous smile.
It shouldn't be a matter of taking sides, but sometimes it can feel like it, you know?
Chase's words lingered for the rest of the day. Olive thought about them as she ran her mice through her experimental protocols, and then later while she tried to figure out what to do with those two outliers that made her findings tricky to interpret. She mulled it over while biking home, hot wind warming her cheeks and ruffling her hair, and while eating two slices of the saddest pizza ever. Malcolm had been on a health kick for weeks now, something about cultivating his gut microbiome, and refused to admit that cauliflower crust did not taste good. Among her friends, Malcolm and Jeremy had had unpleasant dealings with Adam in the past, but after the initial shock, they didn't seem to hold Olive's relationship with him against her. She hadn't concerned herself too much with the feelings of other grads. She had always been a bit of a loner, and focusing on the opinion of people she barely interacted with seemed like a wasteful use of time and energy. Still, maybe there was a glimmer of truth in what Greg had said. Adam had been anything but a jerk to Olive. But did accepting his help while he acted horribly toward her fellow grads make her a bad person? Olive lay on her unmade bed, looking up at the glow-in-the-dark stars. It had been more than 2 years since she'd borrowed Malcolm's stepladder and carefully stuck them on the ceiling. The glue was starting to give out, and the large comet in the corner by the window was going to fall off any day. Without letting herself think it through too much, she rolled out of bed and rummaged inside the pockets of her discarded jeans until she found her cell phone. She hadn't used Adam's number since he'd given it to her a few days ago.
If anything comes up, or you need to cancel, just give me a call. It's quicker than an email.
When she tapped the blue icon under his name, a white screen popped up. A blank slate with no history of previous messages. It gave Olive an odd rush of anxiety. So much so that she typed the text with one hand while biting the thumbnail on the other. Olive, did you just fail Greg? Adam was never on his phone. Never. Whenever Olive had been in his company, she'd not seen him check it even once, even though with a lab as big as his, he probably got about 30 new emails every minute. Truth was, she didn't even know that he owned a cell phone. Maybe he was a weird, modern-day hippie and hated technology. Maybe he'd given her his office landline number, and that's why he'd told her to call him. Maybe he didn't know how to text, which meant that Olive was never going to get an answer from... Her palm vibrated. Adam.
Olive?
It occurred to her that when Adam had given her his number, she'd neglected to give hers in return, which meant that he had no way of knowing who was texting him now, and the fact that he'd guessed correctly revealed an almost preternatural intuition. Damn him.
Olive.
Yep, me. Did you fail Greg Cohen? I ran into him after his meeting. He was very upset.
At me, because of you, because of this stupid thing we're doing.
There was a pause of a minute or so, in which, Olive reflected, Adam might very well be cackling evilly at the idea of all the pain he'd caused Greg. Then he answered,
Adam,
I can't discuss other grads' dissertation meetings with you.
Olive sighed, exchanging a loaded look with the stuffed fox Malcolm had gotten her for passing her qualifying examinations. Olive, I'm not asking you to tell me anything. Greg already told me, not to mention that I'm the one taking the heat for it since I'm your girlfriend.
Girlfriend?
Three dots appeared at the bottom of her screen. Then they disappeared. And then they appeared again. And then, finally, Olive's phone vibrated.
Adam.
Committees don't fail students. They fail their proposals.
She snorted, half wishing he could hear her.
Olive.
Yeah, well, tell it to Greg.
Adam.
I have. I explained the weaknesses in his study. He'll revise his proposal accordingly, and then I'll sign off on his dissertation.
Olive.
So you admit that you are the one behind the decision to fail him?
Olive.
Or whatever, to fail his proposal.
Adam.
Yes. In its current state, the proposal is not going to produce findings of scientific value.
Olive bit the inside of her cheek, staring at her phone and wondering if continuing this conversation was a terrible idea, if what she wanted to say was too much. Then she remembered the way Greg had treated her earlier, muttered, "Fuck it," and typed.
Olive,
don't you think that maybe you could have delivered that feedback in a nicer way?
Adam,
why?
Olive,
because if you had, maybe he wouldn't be upset now?
Adam,
I still don't see why.
Olive,
seriously?
Adam,
it's not my job to manage your friend's emotions. He's in a PhD program, not grade school. He'll be inundated by feedback he doesn't like for the rest of his life if he pursues academia. How he chooses to deal with it is his own business.
Olive,
still, maybe you could try not to look like you enjoy delaying his graduation.
Adam,
this is irrational. The reason his proposal needs to be modified is that in its current state, it's setting him up for failure. Me and the rest of the committee are giving him feedback that will allow him to produce useful knowledge. He is a scientist in training. He should value guidance, not be upset by it.
Olive gritted her teeth as she typed her responses.
Olive,
you must know that you fail more people than anyone else, and your criticism is needlessly harsh. As in, immediately drop out of grad school and never look back, harsh. You must know how grads perceive you.
Adam.
I don't.
Olive.
Antagonistic and unapproachable. And that was sugarcoating it.
You're a dick, Olive meant.
Except that I know you cannot be, and I can't figure out why you're so different with me. I'm absolutely nothing to you. So it doesn't make any sense that you'd have a personality transplant every time you're in my presence.
The three dots at the bottom of the screen bounced for 10 seconds, 20, 30, a whole minute.
Olive reread her last text and wondered if this was it, if she'd finally gone too far. Maybe he was going to remind her that being insulted over text at 9 p.m. on a Friday night was not part of their fake dating agreement.
Then a blue bubble appeared, filling up her entire screen.
Adam. I'm doing my job, Olive, which is not to deliver feedback in a pleasant way or to make the department grads feel good about themselves.